Hey, welcome to the new CNADHD podcast. I'm your host, Liz Lewis, and I don't want to produce another boring podcast.
Let's face it, there are a ton of ADHD podcasts out there at this point. I started out as a blogger, and what I really want to do and my ultimate goal here is to bring you the best experts and the best information about ADHD, and I want to make it understandable and actionable. Good morning! Welcome to, I believe, this is episode 308 of the CNADHD podcast. As I make this podcast, there is an obnoxious amount of construction happening on my street. I thought this would be over yesterday. It's not. And I can't wait any longer because I did not record a podcast last week. And I'm going to tell you why. I have a hard time with self-compassion. Because I need to compensate for my ADHD, I tend to overdo things. And I push and I push and I push. And I was pushing myself about this podcast. I wanted to produce an episode every single week from the day I inherited the podcast. And I pushed myself to do that. And I got a little burned out. And I wasn't feeling particularly self-compassionate about it. And so I thought maybe I would talk about that. I first heard about self-compassion when I went to the conference in November of 2018. I was listening to Dr. Michelle Frank speak, who, by the way, is going to be on this podcast in a few weeks. We're going to talk about her new book she has coming out with her and Sari Solden. It's going to be awesome, but I digress. Can you tell I've had two whole cups of coffee? That's a lot. I usually spread it out over the course of the day. What was I talking about? Self-compassion at the conference. Dr. Michelle Frank was talking about untangling our identity from ADHD, and she mentioned this book by Dr. Kristen Neff called Self-Compassion, so I added it to my list. And I read it. I'm thinking I started reading it in February. I marked it all up, and right now it looks terrible, the book. And I'm going to talk about self-compassion today, right now. Because let's get really honest here. ADHD and self-compassion are not often discussed together, though they probably should be. It doesn't come easily to us. It certainly doesn't come easily to me. And from what I can tell in my community, that is not uncommon. This is the thing. You get a diagnosis. Whether you get it young, like I did, or you get it in your midlife, a lot of the time, you get the diagnosis and you're sent on your way. Oh, this is what you have. It's called ADHD. Here's a little information. You may or may not want to talk to your family doctor about medication. You may want to see a therapist, but nobody tells you exactly what you should do. And as you learn more about ADHD, which happens in a lot of different ways and some better than others. But as you learn more about ADHD and how your brain is wired and what the symptoms are that are affecting your life, you do get to this point, I promise, where you are ready to move forward. And when I say move forward, I mean you're ready to sort of forgive yourself and you're ready to practice self-compassion. I often talk, in fact, there is a post that will come out in the summer. I call it the negative thought vortex. It has to do with cognitive distortions and the way our head works and our negative thought patterns. But I often talk about the way we think as people with ADHD and self-talk. And when you take that and you combine it with executive function difficulties, I mean, you can't get around that. If you have ADHD, you have some level of executive function difficulties. Those two things together make it really difficult, not just to manage your emotions, but to plan ahead. It makes it difficult to manage your relationships. And it all kind of comes together. And there are days when you will struggle. Even when you are working on this self-compassion, you will still struggle, like I did last week when I just decided that I could not make a podcast last week. I couldn't do it. And that was a tough decision for me. But then you're also going to have these days where you can see and you can recognize progress, and that's hard for us too. We often expect to see, you know, immediate results, and it's hard to see progress over the long term. And let me tell you something, there are going to be days when you feel like anything is possible. And what I love about self-compassion is that you can do it on your own anytime you need to, and it's another tool for you. It's another tool in that ADHD toolbox that we all need. So I went through this book and I went through some of my old writing on the website, and I came up with four ways for ADHD women to be more self-compassionate and feel like anything is possible. Okay, I'm going to dive right in. Number one, know that you are human, right? Sometimes we forget, yeah, you have ADHD, but you're human. You are human, and you are connected to all of the other humans. Even when you feel like you're not, you are. And humans have this amazing ability to feel things. We have human emotion, and it's scary, but it's also okay. It's okay. I often say to my private enclave members, having ADHD is like being superhuman. And I don't mean superhero-like. What I mean is our brains are so interesting. I mean, all human brains are interesting. But if you think about it, the wiring of the ADHD brain is the perfect example of how complex the human mind is. We all have the unique gift of cognition. We have this ability to analyze and apply specific learning from our sensory experiences. No other species that I'm aware of has the ability to apply experience to their life in the present. And we with ADHD, we have trouble applying that prior knowledge, those prior experiences. And so we get really caught up in this emotional up and down. And we forget that yes, we have ADHD, but we are still human. In this book by Dr. Kristen Neff, again, it's called Self-Compassion. I will link to it in my show notes. In the book, Dr. Neff says that part of taking control of your emotions is realizing that you are human. We are all connected, and I'm going to quote her here. As humans, we are the expression of millions of prior circumstances that have come together to shape us in this moment. So, in effect, we all have a personal history, experiences. We all have genetics. We all have culture and other things that make us unique, including the ADHD. But we are all equally flawed. And you're not alone in this experience of feeling things. You're not alone with the ADHD, and you're not alone in feeling things because you are human. And I found this really comforting. I was like, oh, wait, other humans have been through this. I mean, I know that on a logical level, but until I read it in the book, it just dawned on me that you're never really alone. Some other human has experienced a similar feeling to this at some point. And I think that is, for me, that was like huge. Anyway, we all have these feelings, right? We all have these experiences. We all have happiness and sadness. And according to Dr. Neff, it's okay to allow that to be there. Last week, I was having some issues. You know, I couldn't manage my schedule. Things just got off course and I couldn't make the podcast. But I allowed myself to feel that frustration and I made the decision. And then it was over and it dissipated. Just like she said, if you allow it to be there, it will dissipate. And I kept telling myself, other people have felt this way. Other people that have podcasts have felt this way. And it was awesome. So number one, know that you're human and you are not alone in it. Number two, talking about feelings, accept the emotions. Just accept that you're going to have emotions. You and I want to be happy, but I guarantee that you and I, neither of us can define what happy feels like. We're trying to achieve something that we cannot even define. And we keep thinking we'll know it when we get there, right? This is an exercise in frustration. What is happy? I don't know. I don't know what happy is in terms of emotions. I know throughout the day, I probably have moments of happiness. But I did figure something out. You cannot feel happiness without knowing what pain feels like. Seriously, think about that. You cannot feel happiness without knowing what pain feels like. Suffering is part of being human. And it doesn't last forever, even though in the middle of it, you feel like it's going to last forever. It does not last forever. So you can't just replace negative emotions, sadness, pain, rejection. You can't just replace it with positive, but you can sort of accept it and you can know that it will pass. Going back to my example last week about this podcast, I was feeling really negative. I was feeling frustrated and I let myself sit in it for about 15, 20 minutes to make that decision. And I allowed myself the space to work through it. I had to sort of self-soothe, which again, we with ADHD are not good at. And, you know, part of accepting your emotions is learning to self-soothe, like identify it when it's happening. And I have a post about this as well, but some self-soothing mechanisms that actually work for me are things like talking to myself, sometimes out loud. I will discuss that later. Sometimes if I'm really off my rocker, I will make a little audio or video recording on my phone so that I can watch it and then delete it. I know some of my group members tell me they like to pray when they're trying to soothe themselves, when they're working through negative emotions, they try to pray. Some people meditate. Some people exercise. I've been known to exercise. Mantras, affirmations, that kind of stuff. All of this is allowing yourself to accept the emotions when they're there, in the moment. That's number two, accept your emotions. Number three, build emotional resilience. This is hard. I don't always have the best emotional resilience. I'm working on it. But, you know, it's a process for everybody. As I've talked about and I've written about many times, ADHD is a way of producing a lot of anxiety and a lot of feelings of inadequacy. This is something everyone deals with. But what separates the people who are making the best of it from those of us that are not is this resilience. And yes, you can build resilience. You can give yourself a boost in this area. If you'll recall, I had Dania Shabib on here maybe a month ago, and she talked about going into your body. So as a good first step to building emotional resilience, try to notice the physical sensations when you're in a bad headspace. So I was just talking about feeling the emotions. When you're in that space of frustration or anger or hurt, asking yourself, like, where am I feeling it in my body? Where am I feeling it? And according to Dr. Neff in this book, just like Dania Shabib was saying, when we experience our emotions on a physical level, instead of just thinking about it, instead of using our magnificent brain to think about it again and again and again, sometimes when we think too hard, we actually start to think about what's making us unhappy and we're turning it over and turning it over. Why not ask yourself, where is this in my body? For example, when I'm feeling frustrated, I know where that feels. I know where I feel it in my body. I feel it usually in my head and around my eyes, like my temples. I get a headache. So when you're building emotional resilience and you're sitting in these feelings, if you can start to ask yourself, where do I feel this? If you're frustrated and tired, does your head hurt? If you are nervous, do you start to sweat? I do. That's one of my things. I know now that when I'm getting nervous or I'm feeling inadequate or like I'm being judged, I start to sweat. I know this about myself. So tune into your body. That helps you to stay a little bit more present when you're going into that headspace, when you're going into that negative place and you're sitting in those emotions. The next part, and this is like one of my favorite things from the book. I have it highlighted, circled, flagged. The next thing you can do is develop a self-compassion mantra. I don't like the word mantra usually, but I'm just going to use it here. Part of building emotional resilience is to stay present in your body. If you have one of these mantras, you can say it to yourself and pull it out of your back pocket whenever you are struggling. It is so simple, but it's brilliant. And I took an example from the book. She has her own example. I changed the words, which is what she says to do in the book. But one of the things I started to do, and I did it last week, is I have this little mantra, and I'm going to read it to you. You can adapt this to suit your needs. It's only four sentences, short ones. Okay. I am having a moment right now. Everyone feels this way sometimes. This too shall pass. I can be kind to myself. Those four sentences. I'm having a moment is number one. Everyone feels this way sometimes is number two. This too shall pass is number three. I can be kind to myself is number four. I had to write it down on a note card, but it really, really helps. It sort of reminds you that we are all interconnected, that this will pass, and that you do have the ability to be kind to yourself. All right, number four, when you are trying to build self-compassion, you have to manage your own self-talk. I was going to do a separate podcast episode on managing self-talk, but then I thought, nah, I'm just going to put it in here because, yeah, that's what I'm doing. No reason. I have written a whole post on this. It will be on the website. Actually, wait. It was on the website last week. I will try to remember to link to it. I don't want to sound repetitive, but self-talk and ADHD and self-compassion, it's all related. I'm going to break this down into the basics. And Dr. Neff discusses this in her book as well. You have to practice noticing your self-talk, that inner voice. If you tune in, you will notice that it is running in the background all the time. All the time. The best way I have found to deal with this inner voice and to cultivate self-compassion is to externalize it, whether that means you talk to yourself like me, or you write it in a journal, or you record your voice, or you tell a friend on the phone, whatever. You have to do what works for you, but I recommend you externalize this self-talk. If you're really struggling, try taking out the first-person statements. I'm a terrible mother. I'm a bad person. I'm a failure. Take the I am out and say, everyone feels like a bad mother sometimes. Everyone feels like a failure sometimes. Or try a third person, a name or something. You have to identify this emotion. Like I was saying in number two, in order to sit with the emotion and to be okay with accepting it, you're going to have to name it. Are you angry? Are you frustrated? Are you scared? Are you feeling rejected? Again, if you come into your body and you notice you're sweating or you notice your head hurts, maybe that'll be easier to identify. Self-talk is a huge issue. Like I said, I thought about doing a whole episode, but then it just sounded exhausting. Self-compassion is also a huge issue, and I think it's a huge issue for people with ADHD. You will never be free of negative emotion. You won't. But you can learn how to practice self-compassion when you really, really need it. You aren't just part of the ADHD tribe. You are part of the human tribe. We have learned so much about ADHD and how to treat it over the lifespan. There are really, really smart people researching and spreading as much knowledge as possible. I like to pretend like I'm one of them. ADHD and self-compassion can coexist, but it takes work. And honestly, I know that not everyone has access to therapy all the time. Really. And this practice of self-compassion, of dealing with your self-talk, these are things you can do to help yourself, even if you can't get an appointment with a therapist, even if you can't afford or you can't tolerate ADHD medication right now. So, self-compassion. I feel like we need to start this conversation. I'm going to review this before I get off of here. Four ways for ADHD women to be more self-compassionate. First, remember that you are human. And for me, that means everything. Knowing that other humans have gone through this before. Yes. Number one, know that you are human. Number two, accept your emotions. If you need to sit with them, sit with them. Don't reject them. Don't try to ignore them. The more you do that, the more they're just going to, that inner voice is just going to go round and round and round in your head. Accept that you have emotions, negative and positive. Build emotional resilience is number three. My favorite part of number three of emotional resilience is the mantra. You only need a few sentences. I'm having a moment. Everyone feels this way sometimes. This too shall pass. I can be kind to myself. That is the biggest part. I can be kind to myself. Number four, manage your self-talk. I will link to my post on this topic. I just want to have this conversation. I do. I think that more people with ADHD need to practice self-compassion. I think everyone should read the book. I think everyone should practice or at least have a one or two line mantra in their head for the tough times. All right. I am going to end it here because I like my podcast to be short. Don't forget to go to my website, A Dose of Healthy Distraction. I was trying to be creative, ADHD, A Dose of Healthy Distraction. I don't know. But don't forget to go over there and download your list of experts. I create this list. I update it every year. Basically, it's the people you need to look to for information about ADHD. And if you think of it, go and leave me reviews on iTunes. Help a girl out. Speaking of helping other women out, the ADHD Enclave is open for enrollment starting June 1st. And let me tell you, we are not just another ADHD support group. We meet live and we have the kinds of conversation that you cannot have on social media. I go out, I sift through all of the information about ADHD, and I bring only the best stuff back. We learn, grow, and connect with each other, and I'm telling you, it does not suck. So check us out. Like I always say, we are stronger together.